said, wake up, puff.
This is Mix 94.5's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
Hey podcasters, Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here.
Hey, on today's catch up, what's it like to be on a cruise ship off Rio right now? I would imagine pretty dreadful.
Matt has had to change his wedding plans.
We play a special duet edition of Wheel of Clazzy.
And we'll take your calls about all things COVID-19.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
One place that people are finding themselves on that is, is causing a lot of conversation and obviously making the news a lot, are cruise ships around the planet. And there are some off our coast, and a lot of talk here in Western Australia about the Vasco da Gama cruise ship. And an Australian citizen who's on holidays, Di, is a passenger on board. And Di, thank you so much for your time this morning. How are you faring?
Oh, pretty good. I know the news shows that we're in trouble, but from our perspective, we've been very well looked after. We're still effectively, until this morning, where we're sort of in panic mode trying to pack. But up until now, we have been very protected, looked after, fed, watered, entertained. Our biggest shock will be actually getting off the boat.
Well, Di, how long have you been on the boat now, and when did they ever isolate you when they thought that coronavirus might be coming through?
We have actually boarded the ship in Fremantle on February the 12th, so it actually had a couple of legs. We were heading to Tilbury in the UK. We disembarked passengers at the end of our first leg in Singapore. We had more passengers embark in that Singapore, and they did a 14-day cruise that come back into Singapore. Their other passengers got off, and new passengers got on that were scheduled to go all the way through to Tilbury. So since we left Singapore on the 9th of March, we haven't set foot on land. So Okay, we knew when we left that China had not long announced that they had a problem with the virus.
Right.
But people on the ship, when you book a cruise, it's a big expense. And when you're going from somewhere like a Fremantle all the way through to Tilbury, it's long-range planning, all that sort of thing. We knew the virus about. Nobody had any idea at that stage that it would be have such a major effect and turn into a global pandemic. So we sailed off blissfully. Now, I will say we had no external news on this ship from Fremantle until our cruise was terminated on the 12th after the pandemic was called. So any satellite TV on this ship was non-existent. The only things we could glean was if we were close to land or actually on land, and we madly scrambled to get internet to find out what was going on there, out there in the real world.
I was, I guess like a lot of people, Di, we've been watching this unfold with the cruise ships thinking what a nightmare situation. But the situation you've just described of not having any news to watch and just having sort of reruns of The Love Boat played on, whatever they're showing on the ship sounds like a dream to me, to be free of all of the news.
Those reruns were called The Bug Boat.
Oh, the bug. We're so glad you've got your sense of humour, Di. Now, what's going on right now? Are you doing that hurry up and wait thing, and are you getting off the boat soon to go to Rottnest? Is that the story?
No. We're East Coasters. So, yes, the Western Australians have been asked to assemble at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
They believe that from 8:30 they will start being processed through whatever health screens they need to do, and immigration and biosecurity, and then they will be slowly transferred onto the ferries and moved across onto Rottnest. Now, they last night had all their health screen paperwork and series of questionnaires to do, and they actually have a plan of the accommodation, and they know exactly where they're going to be on Rottnest. So they're happy with that. And you know, we all knew that we would have to isolate, and that's never been an issue. We had the reverse situation to you guys where this is going to actually slap us in the face. You've seen the progress of this pandemic slowly and surely, and the increase in levels of action that the government have taken.
Yep.
We've been totally isolated from that.
Right.
We just, you know, it's so we're more frightened of actually leaving the boat and coming into contact with people who may give us the virus. So, you know, ours is a bit of a reverse situation to what everybody else has seen. Yeah. So far on this ship, we've been at sea since for 17, 18, 19. Today's about the 21st day. We haven't touched land.
Yeah.
No sign of virus anywhere. And given the information we've seen on the TV and from information on the land, if we had virus on this ship, it would be right through the ship now, and they couldn't hide it, and everybody would know.
Okay, so you've been from New South Wales. Mm. So what's the plan for you now, Di, just to wrap things up?
Going to a hotel wherever those centres, isolating and quarantine for 2 weeks. Then we're waiting to find out how we get back to New South Wales.
We believe
we will only have to self-isolate then.
Hey, Di, thanks for your time this morning. We really appreciate you getting on and speaking honestly. And you've still got a bit of that sense of humour burning there. And we know it's tough because you're getting all the information at once. But all the best to you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for talking to us. Thank you very much.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Matt, you're at your place right now, and there's a bit going on in your place. Not that it's not happening everywhere, but yours is just a little bit different, bud.
Oh, look, I mean, you know, we're just trying to get by with dogs and kids and look after each other. And, of course, one of the things that I announced when we got back on air after the Christmas break was that over Christmas I'd asked my partner T to marry me.
Mm.
And fortunately she did say yes with Steppy D, my stepdaughter's approval. And so we're due to get married on the 28th of June.
I get married in the morning.
There's Matt singing live at his own wedding.
Yeah, now, of course, originally it was going to be for around 100 people, and as the days have gone by, that's becoming increasingly clear that that ain't going to be happening.
Yeah.
And over the weekend, T and I had to send out a message, which I'm sure you guys got, that, hey, I mean, we're obviously not going to be able to have the wedding as planned, but we are. I think we're still going ahead. T, are we still going to get married?
Well... there's nothing else to do.
Okay, great. So we're going to do that.
It's going well so far.
Love it, T. Love it.
What a union.
So, yeah, we put out the email to people saying, look, we're going to do it, hopefully, and we're going to go down the platform of using Zoom or whatever platform we use and hopefully get everyone to be dressed up and having a drink and doing it all online. So
that's the new motto for our show. There's nothing else to do.
Yeah, but of course that plan may change again because that was when we could have five people in a room, like a celebrant and someone to witness, but now we're down to two. I don't know, maybe we have to put it off, but we're just sort of taking it day by day as everyone else is.
Well, T's a celebrant. Can she marry you to each other?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know that you're allowed to do that. I'm waiting for government clarity on that.
I think there'd be a special law brought in for that one. I think the parliament could pass that one, mate. Because I was going to say, you have to marry your celebrant. That's it, and be your own witness.
But there's a lot of people that would have plans at the moment that have just instantly changed. 133353, if you want to tell us what they are. I keep thinking of people who might have been, you know, 2 weeks ago things were financially okay and there might have been mid-renovations. So they've had the bathroom ripped out, they've got a port-a-loo out the back that they're using or they're showering outside, and now suddenly they might have lost their jobs and haven't got any money and they're halfway through not even having a bathroom and can't go ahead because they don't have the cash to do it. Like, there'll be people out there who have got major plans going on that have just collapsed instantly.
Hey, what about, the things that happen in life? What if you'd broken up? You are a married couple and you broke up on the 29th of February and you weren't necessarily splitting from the household at the same time. I mean, there's a lot of people going through a lot of stuff, and that's a real problem because all of a sudden you're in the household for an elongated period.
Oh, it's the most incredible sort of holding pattern, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, because as we just said, you know, you put out an email to people because I had people on the East Coast potentially coming over. I needed to give them some idea of what we were doing, but that could change in a week. And of course, as we just spoke to Blake, it's easy for us. We can change it and we'll get by. But yes. There's a caterer who's lost a gig. There's a band who's lost a gig. Yeah. There's a venue who's lost. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are affected by us having to change our plans. We ain't the only one changing our plans in the current situation. Jason's in Naranda. G'day, mate. How are your plans changing?
Well, it's not mine, but the family were supposed to go for a wedding in China in Shenzhen. But because everything now is locked down, he's been planning it since September last year. So, like any Chinese wedding, it's quite large, and I've had to cancel it all. And it just basically sort of pleased a bit of the family because they've been waiting so long to get for them to get married.
Yeah.
They got eloped, but they still got to do the wedding ceremony and so forth. We don't know when or where yet because their family is spread all over the place.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I mean, I know when, you know, people can sometimes look at these situations when you've got a really big crisis going on, you can sometimes go, oh, it's just a wedding. But, you know, lots of people, that's the best event in their life. That's something that they look forward to. It's a really big celebration of their love. And so it's still putting something, you know, that they really cherish on the back burner, and that's still hurtful for everybody.
Yeah, because they're located here in Perth.
Yeah.
But the wedding was supposed to be in Shenzhen, but we got family there as well in Mauritius and Canada, so it's going to be like a whole sort of global sort of traveling event. But with like a lot of people have already pre-booked their flights and so forth, now everyone's got majority of people got their flights reimbursed because, well, no planes are flying at the moment, pretty much. So.
It was sounding like a League of All Nations wedding, Jason. Because of the Chinese situation, how early was it? Was it quite early when it was put off, or people knew it was in jeopardy, mate?
Well. When it came down to the hearing in one of the provinces that they started locking down,
yep.
It was like, okay, it's off now, because there was family in three different provinces around the main, I can't remember the main city where it was the
Wuhan.
First lockdown. Yeah. They were just out the outskirts, as in like 30 kilometres outside of it.
Right, okay.
That's when they locked everything down, because Wuhan was their main transport hub, because a lot of the trains went through there.
Yep.
And from that point, no one's leaving, so it was a matter of, okay, we've got to do this another time. But his parents are in Mauritius, but hers are in Shenzhen, so it was a matter of, like, we can't do anything now.
Yeah, well, wish him all the best from us, Jason. So much going on for so many stories. Everyone's got one, yeah. Thanks, mate. Thanks for your time this morning. It's Jason and Naranda. Complex, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's, you know, the point is made that, you know, we're still alive, like changing our wedding plans is not a big deal. But mostly it was about sort of relieving any anxiety from other people who didn't want to let us down.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so tell them, hey, you're off the hook.
Yep.
We understand this is a weird time. We'll revisit this at a later date.
Yeah, you know? Do the in-person one later, but the online one will happen first. Let's go to Alison in Thornley. Firstly, Alison, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm actually lucky because I'm actually still working, which is a bonus.
Yeah, we do feel that.
Yeah. I was planning a trip to New Zealand for my mother's 90th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Well, as I said, such is life. Like we're all lucky, but like New Zealand's worse off because they're actually in lockdown. And that's what I said. What do I do? Do I continue, like, plan to go to New Zealand for a month lockdown for a week's holiday to come back for 2 weeks? Quarantine, not going to happen.
So it'll be a Skype celebration for a 90-year-old, right?
Well, no, my mum said she would prefer not to do it.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, well, and like she said, we were all together October last year anyway. Yep. I was over there for a birthday. So, yeah, at the moment, to my knowledge, I think she's just not going to have it.
Oh, well, but hopefully you'll be over there for the 91st, Alison.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, I flip there and back pretty often, so that's all right anyway. But Matt, if Matt talks to Damien Martin, didn't he become a marriage celebrant?
He is a celebrant.
Yes, he did, Alison. He did.
So maybe Matt, Damien. He might be able to help you.
Look, I know that everyone thinks he's the best bloke that ever walked the earth, but I do have an incriminating photo of him kissing my partner on the cheek when they saw each other outside. So he's dead to me. Don't worry about that. Yeah,
that's
she'd
a problem.
Like it a bit too much, Alison. Yes,
kissy poo.
Yeah, could do.
For the event.
Find me a woman who doesn't love Damien Martin.
Gorgeous. So yeah.
Oh, dreaming, and he's got hands full of championship rings. Hey, mum was born in 1930. That's incredible, Alison. Thanks. Thanks for the chat, and wish her all the best from us.
Have a good day, guys. Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix
94.5. All right, Perth, it's time for your favourite game show. Kimba Cahill, come on down.
Again? Oh, my God.
Matt Dutinski, come on down.
Woo. That's what I'm talking about.
Next contestants on Wheel of Classy. Now, here's everybody's favourite host, Dean Clare.
So good to see you all here for another round of the Wheel of Players. And today we're playing this game.
Karaoke time! Karaoke, awesome.
It is, my friends, karaoke time on Mix 94.5. And I need to test your buzzers. One, Matthew Dutinski.
Matthew Dutinski.
You can just say Matt. That's okay. Kimba, test your buzzer.
Kimba.
So what we're doing, of course, is karaoke time. We're going to play an instrumental, and we need you to name the artists and song. Okay, so we're going to be strict on this today.
Geez.
The adjudicator is going hard. Look, with the new rules on limiting social interactions down to two people handed down by the Prime Minister yesterday, all of our songs are by duos, so it's duets time, okay?
Oh, cute. Okay.
But I must point out right now, the score check on the Wheel of Clarsey for 2020 is Kimba 7, Matt 5. How are you feeling about that?
This could be your moment, Maddie, because I hardly ever remember the artists of anything.
Okay, remembering names as buzzers, best of five, first to three wins, let's play.
Kimba.
Okay, Kimba, we need title and artists. Who have you got?
Patrick Swayze? Is it his song? No, it's not.
Patrick Swayze.
Oh, I've already blown it.
I think you're the right movie.
No.
Matt, do you want to have a crack at this one?
Oh, I know the song, but I don't know the names of the people. I think one of them starts with, I think one of them's a Bill.
One of them's a Bill. I'm looking at the adjudicator. Is he going to be leaning in at all? Adjudicator
for Bill.
Is saying no points for anyone for that one. Jennifer Warnes and Bill Medley.
That's right.
From Dirty Dancing, of course. Thanks, Kimber. Well done. Patrick Swayze was in the movie. No one puts
I mean, he had one song in there, right?
No one. He did.
She's like the wind.
Yeah, if it had been that one, you would have got it, Matty. But it's not a duo. These are all duos. The score check: Kimba 0, Matt yet to score. Song
it's
2.
Going well.
This is going to be terrible.
What's this one?
Okay. Okay, Kimba.
Okay, Kimba, have a crack at it.
I mean, I'll say "Crazy in Love," Beyonce and Jay-Z.
That is correct, Amondo. Kimba's on the scoreboard.
Oh, dear.
Kimba won. Matt yet to trouble the scorers. Song number 3.
Matt.
Matty.
This is, it's Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Right.
Is it Islands in the Stream?
It is. What a concept. Oh, poor old Kenny. We lost Kenny and Dolly was very upset.
Are you really getting the feeling here that this is a generation game? Because Kimba's getting, knows the one.
Jay-Z and Beyonce.
If it was before 1964, I don't know.
Oh, geez, you did say Patrick Swayze. Okay, score check. Kimba 1, Matt 1. Let's go. Mike, what's the next one? Oh, here we go. Number 4.
Kimba.
Kimba, what do you
think? Oh, no.
What do you think it is?
I'm gone too early.
Yeah, who do you think? What do you think?
I thought it was Opposites Attract with Paula Abdul and that rat thing.
Rat thing, yep. Well, it's not that. Was that your guess?
No, it's obviously a Michael Jackson track.
Oh, it's a Michael Jackson track. What song is it and who's he singing with?
Oh, hang on. Hang on a minute. Is it Michael Jackson and Dolly Parton?
That's actually really funny.
Well, so, we're so rubbish.
I'm saying that no one knows this one, right?
No.
Okay, it's Michael Jackson's sister Janet, of course, and Scream.
Oh, okay. Oh. I would not have got the song title right.
Janet has been known to put in her live set lists, but not when she came to Perth most recently. Let's have a look now. Kimber 1, Matt 1. So this is your tiebreaker. You ready to go? Song number 5.
Yep.
Matt Dickinski.
Okay, Matt, you're first.
Oh, was he?
John Travolta, yeah, he was. Olivia Newton, John. Mm. You're the one that I want.
Can I just say that perhaps because of a setup with your box there at home, Kimber, which you're broadcasting through, maybe the delay was just longer than you thought because Matt came through the air first.
I said Kimber a lot, but yeah, the delay must be massive.
It must be, but we have to go with what we heard on the airways, which means that Matt's had a win 2-1.
And it's not my fault, Kim. It's not my fault Kimber's working with an old box.
She is, definitely. You can even hear the delay in
That's
her response.
All right. You can take the win. I suppose we're going to have this problem every time, though. So this working from home business could really affect my scoreboard.
Yeah, but you're 7, Matt 6, and it's a chance to make it level next time we play. You never know. You never know how it's going to work.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
The 90th day of the year officially. It's and who would have thought, you know, 60 days ago we'd be in this kind of position. And we're going to open the lines and tell us, Maddie, get people to just tell us how they're feeling this morning.
Absolutely. For me personally, this weekend was a bit of a roller coaster. I had a full house clean on Friday. I had the energy and the sort of impetus to do that. And then yesterday I found myself literally having one of those I don't want to get out of bed days where I just felt a bit down. So that's me.
Yeah. Did you vacuum all weekend, Kimber? What were you up to in that respect?
No, look, I felt a little bit like Maddie. I had a few moments of, oh goodness, what's happening here? But I just spent a bit of time in the garden. I spent time out the back, outdoors, because it was such glorious weather. So that made me feel a little bit better. But I, you know, like you, Maddie, felt that too.
Yeah, I had a really down period on Saturday. Got myself a coffee, and Laurie and I had an interesting, probably the most interesting picnic we'll ever have. Our picnic consisted of the two of us with just a few bits and pieces in a kid's lunchbox, sitting in our favourite car park overlooking the Swan River with the windows up. It was very romantic.
We sat
in the car. There were too many people at the park, and we went, should we sit in the car? Yeah, let's just sit in the car. Someone pulled up next to us and my window was down a bit. I went, do I want my window up? What's going on? Are they a bit too close? Is that car like more than a metre and a half away? It was ludicrous, but actually it was actually quite fun as well. We had a good laugh about it.
It sounds cute and romantic.
Yeah.
It was pretty cute.
It does. And it's so important, you know, when to grab those little moments when you can, isn't it? As long as you're doing it within the parameters of what we're all supposed to be doing.
Yeah. At the time it seemed quite ridiculous, but it was actually funny. We laughed all the way home, which was good. And it's the lift that I needed. Everyone's going through stuff and the lines are open. If you're struggling a little bit, give us a call. Whatever's going on. Mark's in Carrollup. Morning, Mark.
G'day, guys. How you doing? Alert but not alone?
Mate. Yeah, exactly, bud. Yeah.
Okay.
What's going on, bud?
You want to know how we're feeling at the moment?
Yep.
I'm feeling proud.
What do you got?
And the reason why I'm feeling proud is I've got a sister in head of nursing at an aged care facility. She's doing a great job. I've got a son and a niece that have just been deployed with the Army Reserve assisting police, and another niece that's a paramedic with St John's. So, they're doing a great job.
Absolutely, man, and I think the Americans say this, and I'm sure we'll start saying it too, to your family, thank you for your service, because that's a whole lot of people who are doing a great job, and we're so glad that they're out there helping us out.
Yeah, cheers.
That is a family on the front line, isn't it, Mark? Well done, man. That's good.
Okay, mate.
Thanks for letting us know.
Well, and to give back to Mark's family, all we have to do is stay at home.
Yep. Yeah, too right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mission accepted.
Yeah, that's the way to do it together apart. Let's go to Hammersley. G'day, Janet. Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. My husband and I are doing the right thing. We've only been out for a 20-minute shop in the last 3 weeks. Went out for a bit of a walk yesterday just to free the, get out of the house.
Yeah, clear the cobwebs.
Yep, he's 70 and I'm 66, but we're going okay. I'm a scrapbooker, so I'm scrapbooking the whole of thing. It's become a full-time job. There'll be a book for the future, telling our family in the future of what's been going on. And it's great to have you back. I missed you on the weekend and had a bit of a down day like Matt on Saturday. But then I thought, hang on a minute, there's people off worse than me. I'm just sticking home doing what I'm doing and we're both fine. Thanks very much for being there for us. You're a real breath of fresh air, always are, but even more so in this situation.
Hey, Janet, there in Hammersley, did you go outside and clap for the health workers last night, did you?
Yes, we did. And there was a guy across the road in, you'll know it, Lampard Street.
Yep,
and,
well.
he was waiting for, I'm in your house, your old house. And
you're in my house.
Yeah, I bought your old house.
Yeah, I know you did.
Yeah, those of us know Janet. Janet's a regular caller, and Janet lives in a house that Claire grew up in.
My childhood home. It's very cool. Belvedere,
and, he was obviously waiting for someone outside in the units across the road, and I said, oh, you've come out to clap. And he goes, what? And I'm shouting across the road, explaining to him. He says, oh, my God, I didn't know about it. Yeah, we'll clap. And his mate arrived, and they both stood there and clapped with me. We did hear clapping elsewhere. There weren't anyone close by, but my husband and I stood there and clapped for about 5 minutes.
Oh, so, very good. It was ringing out over Aintree Oval in Hammersley. People around the area will know it well.
Yeah, there were a few people. As I said, you could hear it in the distance. Yeah, great.
Good on you, Janet.
Thanks very
much, guys. Love you. Nice work, Janet.
Thank you, Janet. I hope they do that the applause again, because I'll have to say I was a little bit unawares that it was
that
all
was going
happening.
On.
And
I
would love to have done it and would have done it. But, I do hope we sort of have another moment where we collectively say thank you.
Yeah, I would have headed out, but I was eagerly awaiting the Ben Cousins thing on TV. So
I did both. I ran out, clapped, ran in.
Well done. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Well, all of us are, of course, watching the news. Is there anything else to do at the moment? And we're seeing how everywhere around the world seems to be going into lockdown, and we watch with some strange feeling when people aren't adhering to the rules that are put in place. We're going, well, what are you thinking? And Spain is a country that's been really badly hit by all this. We know, we see their toll continuing to rise. And I'm sure the last thing authorities need there is people breaking the lockdown. But worse than that, giving police attitude when they're stopped, and especially when the perpetrator is an 80-year-old nonna.
What's Granny up to?
So Granny's out there. She's pushing her trolley, and those great old trolleys. I actually wish I had one of those now. They were awesome. And so the police have stopped her and said, oi, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be out of the house. She says, I'm delivering speed, i.e. drugs, to my granddaughter.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, okay. So they go through her bag, and sure enough, she's not lying. There's three bags of narcotics there for her granddaughter. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that's two charges that we have you on. And then just to make matters worse, or I don't know, or to make them better, it depends on which side of the fence you lie, she ups her skirt and shows them her genitals.
Oh, okay.
Now, they've said that she has no priors.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any medical excuse for behaving this way. She just, but at least she was honest. She was honest with the police, yes.
Also, the times we live in where walking the streets get you busted before you get the drugs. And, you know, if she'd been carrying like non-regulated toilet paper numbers, she probably would have been even further in a fair bit of trouble.
Well, we've had the poo jogger, and now we've got the granny flasher.
I don't know what statement she was making, but you're right, Kimber. It's like, this is what minority groups have been saying for years in various countries of the world. They're saying, I get racially profiled, right? Police stop me for no reason. And now maybe we all get to understand how that feels. Yeah. But, that's another conversation. Basically, the moral of this story is don't go taking drugs to your grandkids, and for goodness sake, don't flash when the police stop you.
Ghost Racer, go! More than rice power for Granny, guys. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5. Let's be honest, guys, in these times, TV becomes quite important, doesn't it, to entertain us, and this happened on the telly last night.
The winners and new champions of Dancing with the Stars 2020 are Celia and Jared!
Oh, my God, here she is. She's light on her feet. She's Ginger Rogers. Celia Pecola, congratulations. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I just... Look, I don't... Look, I don't even know what's happening. It's just ridiculous. If there's any proof that the world's gone mad, it's that I, a 37-year-old comedian, have won Dancing with the Stars. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, Celia, at the start of the show, you suggested that you weren't much of a dancer. You hustled them. You're a hustler.
I am so not a hustler. I am as surprised as everyone. Everything on the show is completely real. I said yes because I thought it was going to be so funny. I've done two rock ostensibles. That's my dance background. 1998. Went, this is going to be funny. No matter what, I'm terrible, it's going to be funny. And I honestly, if you told me 2 months ago that I'd be doing a flip on live television,
yeah,
I would have told you that you've had a bit too much to drink. It's been, hate to use the word journey, but it's been a journey.
Oh, Celia, it's clearly a story for our times, a moment where a proof that dreams can come true.
Well, yeah, I mean... I just can't believe it. It was not something I ever imagined, but I'm so thrilled. I think it'll be a couple of months until I really realize what's happened. But luckily, I'm going to sit in my house. I'm isolating now. I'm going to watch the show over and over and over again, just to prove to myself that it actually happened.
Hey, Celia, Ed Cavalier, we had him on last week, and he was taking the mickey out of all of you in the final four. It was quite funny. He predicted you were going to win. He made out as that was a setup. But how does it feel to be a coronavirus era sex symbol on Australian telly?
Funny when they announced that he was fourth, he was like a roast. He went down the line and just gave us all a bit of stick. But I'm so glad he was there.
Yeah.
He was the other one that I knew going in, and like comedian. Someone told me this last night. I don't know if it's true, but apparently a comedian has never won Dance with the Stars before.
Ah.
Comedians are generally terribly in this show, and the fact that myself and Ed made it to the final four was so great. And to be honest, we were both generally more excited if our jokes worked rather than if our dances worked.
Of course.
Yeah.
What's important in life?
Well, Celia, tell us about the charity that you're supporting too with the $50K prize money, Safe Steps Family Violence Response.
Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to give them $50,000. I was hoping I'd get some big novelty check that I could hand to them, but it's still good. They do such amazing work. So in Victoria, they're a crisis response helping women and children experiencing family and domestic violence. They're like the front line to help women who need to get out. They have a 24-hour confidential phone line. They also run 1-800-RESPECT, which is the national phone line. And I love being able to give them money, but also I just love getting the word out about them because I think a lot of women and people just don't know that this service exists to help people who might be at risk or who are, you know, fear.
You're right. The world's gone a little bit odd at this point in time, Celia, as the understatement of the century. But this is the closest we're going to get to an Olympic gold medal for the time being. So you're yes. Our golden girl, Celia. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's so strange. When I started, it seemed like such a frivolous thing to be doing. But now with everything going on in the world,
yeah.
It just felt so more and more important to do a cha-cha, to give people something shiny and silly and sequins yeah. And ridiculous to focus on for 90 minutes with all this stuff going on. I can't believe how it played out, but I'm so glad we got to the finish and hopefully gave people some much-needed entertainment in this time.
Well, well done, Celia. And now you've got a trophy, a disco ball trophy, bigger than the size of your head. So don't know what you're going to do with that, but well played.
I was going to try and hang it from my mirror, but I think it might be a bit big.
Yeah, I think it might. You might break something there, but well done. And that charity will well and truly appreciate those funds. Celia, congratulations. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the
morning on Mix 94.5. The Prime Minister and the state leaders, the Premiers have been out and about and particularly on the media, what seems like every few hours, with more press conferences and then followed up with press releases. But there has been a lot going on again the last 24 hours, Kimber.
Well, it can't be good for them either. I'm like, I wish they'd just make some firm decisions and then they only have to come out every few days instead of at the moment they're meeting all the time. Like they're at risk as well every time they have to get together and meet one another and then come out and do a presser. Mm. And they just keep muddying the message. I'm like, we all get it. Our freedoms are going to be taken away from us for a little while and we have to do that. But the drip feeding of it, I think, is making it worse.
Well, look, I hear what you're saying, but I also kind of feel like, do people need it to be spelled out so clearly? You know, it seems fairly clear that the less contact you have with anyone who doesn't live in your home, the better. You know, but am I still allowed to do this or am I still allowed to do that? Because you didn't actually say my specific circumstance.
Yeah, and I get that. But, I mean, like 2 days ago they said you can all go to boot camp for 10 people, and then 2 days later they go, okay, guys, you can't do boot camp anymore.
Sure.
Now,
yeah,
I mean,
okay, yeah,
they knew that was coming. Yeah. So it's kind of like saying everything that has been around allowed to stay open has then shut down 2 days later. So, you know, I just think they could make it clearer than this.
Let's be honest. No one on the planet's been in this position before. So it's tough for leaders as well. I know what you're saying, Casey. There are some things that seem to be that fairly obvious ones. But we're now, let's be honest, we're now living in a giant Noah's Ark because the humans are walking two by two. So that's what the gatherings are now down to, unless it's members of your family, immediate family, living in your household.
Yes, which let's just be honest, that's sort of it. Like, don't see anyone now for a while.
Pretty much. And there are on-the-spot fines as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the police implement those as well.
Well, I said to you guys over the weekend, like, my neighbour had friends coming and going. I could hear them. And I'm like, maybe they were coming one at a time. I don't know. But, I mean, if you've still got six people coming over the weekend, then that's not helping anybody. And I'm thinking, like, everybody's treating this like it's like unsafe sex, like kind of going, I don't think they've got corona. He's a friend. I'm probably safe. Like, it's just a weird way of doing things.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy, actually. That is exactly what it's like. You're putting a lot of trust in people that you don't necessarily know all that well.
And they don't know they're carrying.
So perhaps the next time you see someone who doesn't live in your house, put a giant sheath over your body and you'll be fine. So over 70, if you're over 70 years of age in Australia, you need to isolate. That was made very clear by the Prime Minister yesterday afternoon.
Yes, Mum, that's for you. Stop going out. Yeah. Yes.
Boot camps are closed, KC, and they're talking about various things, supporting small business, the commercial. They want commercial landlords, tenants, and banks to get together to do the right thing, and then the commercial landlords will get the right advice. And if they do the right thing, and they're saying sit down, obviously that's going to be on the phone or on Skype, then the government will support those people. But it's still a lot of grey areas. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it certainly is, that's for sure. And the main thing is too, it seems to be in our subconscious all the time. Like, I can't sleep. I got a bad sleep last night because I keep having dreams that my hands aren't clean and I'm trying not to touch myself.
Oh, really?
That doesn't sound right.
No, it sounds righter than you think.
No, it's all good.
I mean, like, if you've ever slept in a fake tan overnight and you're trying to, like,
what
stop
if it gets
moving,
you through the night? Yeah.
You don't want to touch your face and stuff. I keep having dreams about that.
Hey, Matt, can you go to Bunnings? Anyway. Can you go to Bunnings, get Kimber another shovel so you can dig it deeper? Even that's weird. See how many Aussies went to Bunnings over the weekend, and they've very carefully marked out the crosses a metre and a half apart, which is pretty cool.
Oh, boy. Someone's going to write a great comedy about this one day, I'm sure.
Well, I think it was
the weirdest time. And the fact that, as you keep alluding to, Claire-Z, and we all keep saying it because it's really hard to comprehend that 2 or 3 weeks ago, this just did not seem like it would be possible.
Yeah. I mean, some medical experts may have predicted something like this, but we look at the numbers and they continue to grow. But we'll no doubt be a couple of hours away from hearing from either the Prime Minister or another leader from around the country. So we'll give you more updates as they come to hand.
Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
It seems that everyone's getting on board with the fight against coronavirus, let's be honest. And with health departments worldwide needing PPE, so the personal protection equipment, the world's top fashion houses have stepped up. How good is this? Gucci,
yes,
Volcano.
I've heard about this.
Armani making face masks and hand sanitizer. How good is that?
Brilliant. Good on
them. It's
been on
good.
The Xy side, I'm sure.
Quite possibly, Kim, because we're talking about top line stuff. But on the line from Milan right now, we have Armani's head of face mask design, Alessandro Del Piero. Alessandro, good morning and welcome.
Yeah, buongiorno, Claire-Z. Ciao to you, Matt, and to Kimber Cahill. My God, Santa Maria. We was aware of Kimber Cahill here in Milano. Yeah, all of us heard about the lioness doing the breakfast radio in Perta, but to see your image on the Facebook profile, magnifica, principessa, your eyes so blue, your leg is so long, your skin so white and pasty like a bottle of eclair glue.
Oh, dear.
You are my inspiration, yes.
Oh,
you're right there, Casey.
Thank you. Oh, I mean, that's very sweet. I'm very flattered. I don't know what to say. Alessandro, what sort of designs are Armani bringing to the new world of face mask fashion?
Yeah, Kimber, you know, this is such an exciting time for us and for face masks because is going to be the new look for 2020-21. We've got to do something with the leather straps to stop the chafing behind the ears. It's so important. We're going to bring the colors into the face mask. Yes, we have the white ones, which people, they think is very clean, very medicinal. But we're going to bring out some colors to bring out the eyes. It's all going to be about the eyes in 2021. But for the PPE, for the personal protection, we're going to design something that would be, yeah, comfortable but strong. Huh? You're going to jiggle but not fall off the face. It's going to be, even if a bullet was fired into it, you're not gonna fall off. You're going to be impervious to the virus. Mm. Because we are using this fine substance that Kim Kardashian injected into her bottom. It's going to be amazing.
Alessandra, obviously people are going to have to try and look after their relationships over this time. And can Armani help? Will they put their own iconic stamp on face masks, making them a little sexier perhaps?
Yeah, that is a wonderful question. Thank you for asking this. Because, yeah, we've got to make sure we're still living La Vita e Bella, see? We've got to keep things in the bedroom nice and sexy. So we're going to make a face mask. Okay, so what I'm thinking at the moment is a face mask. Okay, just two pieces of material, one for each nostril, and a single strip for the mouth, like a G-string. So, yeah, you can keep safe, but, man, you're going to look so sexy in the bedroom. And this is what Armani is going to bring to this. Face mask, sure. Keep it safe, sure, but keep it sexy. That's what we do.
Alessandro, thanks for your time. The first man on the planet to ever render Kimber Kale speechless. Good job.
Grazie.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Phil from Belden's on the line. Phil, there's a personal connection for you, mate. Firstly, how are you going?
Yeah, all right. I guess we're a bit worried for my wife's parents who have been on the ship, but they're fine on the ship because no one's got any illness, so they're able to move around and they've made friends and they're playing cards and, you know, I've got entertainment. It's when they get home that's more of the danger because they're in their 70s and we're just worried, you know. My mother-in-law loves shopping and she's going to have to curtail that because she's very high, you know, they're high risk.
Of course.
So we're going to have to try and organise to do the shopping for them maybe.
Phil, have you been a little less worried knowing that because there's no one on the ship that is sick that they're safe there at least, even though they have been
absolutely.
There for a long time?
They've been having a great time, you know, with no one sick, and they've got friends they've made, and they're doing all sorts of activities. So it's more when they come home that we're worried about.
That's really interesting, Phil. It's almost as if, you know, you'd prefer that they, I know that you wouldn't because you want to see them, but almost prefer that they stay on the ship and keep cruising and having a good time. Well,
absolutely. They're much safer on the ship. No one's sick and everyone's able to, you know, move around. But when they get home, they're going to have to stay at home, which is, and be isolated. And we'll probably have to visit them on the front verge and have a chat from the front verge, maybe. It's much more dangerous for them in Perth than on the boat.
So, Phil, what is the latest with your folks? We know some people from the Vasco da Gama are getting moved today. We're not sure of an exact time to Rottnest. So will your folks be allowed home, or is it self-isolation at home, or is it Rottnest?
I believe they're going to Rottnest.
Yep.
For 14 days. And after that, well, I guess because they're high risk, they will have to try and isolate themselves at home anyway, which is going to be difficult. So we'll play by ear.
Okay. Well, at least Meyer is shut, so there's less temptation there at this point in time, Phil.
He's a shopaholic, so it's going to be very difficult.
Hey, Phil, good to talk to you, mate, and all the best to you and to the family.
Okay, thanks very much. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. There's a lot going on right now in Western Australia. There's a lot of things happening online. Just imagine taking slow strides down the Busselton Jetty right now. It's something of fantasy or something you can see online.
Oh, this is nice meditation, Claire. I'm loving it. Yes.
Yeah, that was meant to be my plan at 2 p.m. yesterday when they did a live online walk down Busselton Jetty so you could see it like first person, make it feel like it's you.
Sure.
And then I forgot that it was on.
Oh, I was going to say, you spoke as though you missed it.
I did. I missed
to set your alarm,
it. I was like,
Kimber.
Oh, I wouldn't mind a walk down Busselton Jetty at 2 p.m. on a Sunday, arvo, and then I forgot.
Oh, dear.
Well, I have noticed that people are doing quiz nights, and I'd love to get on board, because clearly the way I'm going in our quiz, you and I, Kimber, I've got to step up my game, because I'm getting my butt handed to me at the moment.
I must
get on board one of these sort of online quizzes. That'd be fun.
There are so many things happening online. We've seen celebrities doing it. There's musos, everyone from Neil Young to Keith Urban doing it. And I watched a bit of a Keith Urban concert online from, I don't know if that's his lounge room or something, or some concert room that he's got. And it was really good until Nicole started dancing creepily in the background, and that was just a tad disturbing. I don't know what was going on there.
I've been enjoying them.
Like my favourite band have been doing the lead singer's been doing his own sing song every day for 14 days. So I've just been tuning in and getting a free gig from his studio, and that's been pretty enjoyable. I've got friends on the weekend. We're going to play board games over Skype on the weekend, but I'm also loving Perth Zoo. You should follow Perth Zoo on Facebook. It's awesome.
What, have they got cameras on the animals? What's going on?
Yeah, they do. It's really good. Like the other day on Friday, I watched the penguins being fed and then just them having an awesome
little
frolic in the water.
Of course. Makeba.
They put the camera inside the binturong cage, which is like, they're known as bear cats, but they're not a bear and they're not a cat.
Right.
And they've got little
confused,
like cubs at the moment. Yeah, little kits. And they're really cute little babies wandering around the enclosure. And there's videos of orangutans scrubbing their own enclosure and stuff like that.
Aww.
Like the Perth Zoo are doing lots of different stuff where you can experience the zoo without having to be there.
Well, I mean, I've been one of these people. I love my sport, but I over the years I've sort of thought it's got a bit crazy and a bit sort of almost obscene, the amount of money and attention that's put onto sport. But I have to say, I am missing it so much.
Yeah.
That I am watching, and particularly my soccer, which I love more than anything else.
Sure.
I am watching so many old games and greatest goals from 1974. And
you're watching the gold.
I'm sorry for everything that I ever said bad about sport.
Oh.
I love it and I wish it was here. And that's been my Sunday.
You've got the back catalogue going on.
I really do.
I'm still searching online for a live feed of Perth people being arrested and getting on the spot fines for going out in groups of three. That could be quite entertaining. Kimber, you did mention the zoo. It sounded pretty cute.
Perth Zoo's doing a great job. They've just been videoing all these different parts of the animal enclosure, so you can check in for a few minutes and it's great. So just follow it on Facebook and you'll get the notifications of it coming up. It's really cool.
Yeah, I must do that. But we want to know what you're doing online. Let's go to Merriwa. Vicky, what's going on for you?
Good morning, guys. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, what I've been doing is I'm a netball umpire, which is my second job.
Yep.
And because there's no sport available at the moment, I'm not able to get out there and umpire like I love to do.
Of course.
So I'm actually watching old football games online and on TV and whatever, and I'm using netball rules to umpire the football game.
Oh, very good. So you're just constantly blowing your whistle.
Oh, yeah. My neighbours are going crazy.
Of course they are.
It's a lot of obstruction.
Oh, there's a lot of stepping and a lot of replay, but yeah, no, it's fun. It's great.
Oh, and how is Andrew Gaff going as a wing attack?
Oh, well, yeah, he needs a little bit of work on his obstruction and his stepping. He just needs to get in training a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, he's no Caitlin Bassett. Hey, Vicky, what era footy stuff are you watching when you're doing this? Is it really old stuff?
Some of the really old stuff. That's entertaining to see that, you know, they all get points off for their uniforms, of course.
Yeah, of course.
They're not up to code. it's more of the recent stuff, so it's quite funny.
You've been entertaining to us, so could we throw you some toilet roll? We got some toilet rolls handy. Do you need any?
That would be awesome. My daughter needs some, so that would really help her out.
Taken care of, Vicky. Well done, and thanks for giving us a giggle this morning.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Hey, guys, the lines are open right there. What are you doing online? It could be something like that. Amuse yourself for a while. It might only be an amusement for a few hours because you'll be over that fairly soon.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5.
Channel 7 put the Ben Cousins doco to air last night. Just want to know your thoughts and find out if you guys had a bit of a scan of it last night. Maddie.
Yeah, I did. I watched the whole thing, actually. I normally wouldn't watch something like that, but I thought, well, you know, we're likely to talk about it. People are likely to be watching it. And it was not like, I sort of thought it was going to be this really terrible expose where they completely destroyed him and, you know, made a big fuss over it sort of thing. But in actual fact, I came out of it feeling quite sad. It felt really sad. It felt like, you know, not just because of, I've never really lauded him as the fact that, oh, he's a footballer, so he deserves different treatment to anybody else. But it was just really sad to see somebody clearly in the throes of addiction and how your whole world crumbles around you and you don't know how to get out of it.
Many of our families are, you know, going through that, people with addiction, or perhaps you yourself, you know, struggling with addiction. It's not a pleasant thing. It's a thing that tears families apart, particularly when they just feel bereft and unsure of what they can do next to help, because it doesn't seem, you know, for some people, that terrible spiral downwards never ends.
Yeah.
My immediate reaction was I don't want someone to be, you know, put in the public eye and sort of deconstructed live for me to find, almost like a sort of a ghoul show, you know, for people to go, oh yeah, and tell us about that other bad thing that happened to you and whatnot. Now, I'm not saying that that's how it played out, but that was my immediate fear.
The thing it reminded me of, guys, watching it, especially right from the start, there was an American show a few years ago called Celebrity Rehab, and they would get sometimes sort of former actors and musos and that in Celebrity Rehab, and sometimes it just became quite embarrassing. And I thought that at times the you know, some of the questions that Basil was asking were okay, and some not so much. But I thought it was a bit sloppy, and for a show that was this one was promoted for a long time. I don't know if they spent a lot of time putting it together. Like, John Worsfold is an absolute legend at the West Coast Eagles. We know he coaches Essendon now, right? Their fairest and best is named after him, and to not have the attention to detail, not even spell his name right on a doco, I just thought that was pretty. I know people make mistakes, but that was inexcusable. Someone's got to look at it before it goes to air, and that was a minor point.
Yeah, it said Worsfold, didn't it?
It's Ted Worsfold, yeah. And that's a minor point, but the interview in the car got me. That wasn't Basil doing that. Is that producers talking to Ben? Because Ben got very fired up about his seeing his kids or not seeing his kids and about the rights of men and women in the in a breakup situation. I just was concerned about that one as well. He did get very fired up.
I wasn't really sure where all the bits of footage came from. It seemed like they'd taken them from, they tried to make it look like they'd, you know, been filming him secretly in the park and things like that, but he clearly knew they were there. I wasn't quite sure what was happening, but yeah, it was definitely a sad thing. I don't think it offered anybody hope either coming out of that. I think it probably might have taught a few people a lesson that's how easy it is to be caught up in something that can just destroy your life. But
absolutely.
And to clarify to anyone who thought that he was getting paid from that interview, they did say that the pay will be, even though he has been paid for the interview, the money is going to Ben's lawyer.
Right.
And the lawyer will be distributing cash, you know, like pocket money kind of thing, so that it doesn't go towards things that it shouldn't.
Well, look, let's hope that, you know, for anyone out there who is struggling with addiction, that it gives you some impetus to go and seek some help. You know, as you guys know, I gave up drinking 5 years ago because I needed to.
Yep.
And I certainly sought some help for that. So there's no shame in it. And there are plenty of places out there. So give someone a call and start the journey of getting better.
And they did speak to Carol, the head of Syrenigan House, last night in the alcohol and drug treatment sector. So if you are struggling, you can call them. You can go to syrenigan.com or give them a call, 9328-9200. And I think it's probably, we've all had discussions about this before. We just want Ben to be okay.
Damn straight. Yeah.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
This may brighten your week.
Mix 94.5's got your back.
I got you, buddy.
With ABC Blinds.
I got your back.
Hey, guys, now more than ever, we all need to look out for each other. So we've teamed up with ABC Blinds, our very good friends, and want to help you help someone who needs a little boost, Kimber.
Yeah, now everyone's got different needs, so it's hard to sort of put this together without your help. I mean, you might have a friend who's doing it tough. You could have a nurse that you know that's doing amazing work, or even an elderly neighbour that needs a hand. Anyone, really. But we just want to help you spread a little love around the place.
too right. Just get in touch with us at mix.com.au and tell us who it is and what they need, and we could be getting back in touch with you.
Yeah, this is pretty good. It's Mix 94.5's got your back. It's a little bit of pay it forward, kind of just be sweet to everyone around and help others who were sort of a little bit stressed at this point in time.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Now, we have seen so many things going on in relation to shopping, be it people being distanced in shopping queues and the like, with very obvious X marks a spot at places like Bunnings, and I've seen it in chemists and the like as well. But also price rises around the place. Some have called it price gouging or whatever you want to call it. Is it necessary? And are you seeing much of it, particularly in fruit and veg? And we thought we'd catch up with someone who knows, marketing strategist from Marketing Focus, Barry Urquhart. Good morning, Barry. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm very well.
Barry, I thought that fresh produce, given that a lot of it comes from local markets, would be pretty safe. But at a time where budgets are stretched to the max, people are unemployed, I'm seeing celery for $8, lettuce for $5. Is this legit, or are companies gouging us because they can?
Well, look, to a large extent, there are shortages of supply, because one of the things is that people are hoarding perishable goods which have very short lifetimes. Interestingly enough, you cannot anywhere in Australia buy a new freezer. So people are thinking about it as the unintended consequences that they are hoarding. And so consequently, whilst the growing is local, it's fresh and that sort of thing with a short lifespan, people are taking it home, putting it in the freezer and using it as a defence mechanism.
Yeah, Barry, you know, we talked about toilet paper being the sort of hot item over recent weeks, and those of us that didn't decide to hoard toilet paper have been hoping calmly that it would end up back on the shelves. So far, no good for me personally. Does this sort of thing have a kind of a life cycle where eventually things will calm down and we'll start to see it on the shelves again?
I think that's the whole issue with this coronavirus issue. No one knows how long it's going to last. There are people who have got in, taken their toilet rolls, taken it home. And, of course, anyone who's bought a new home that has been built since the year 2000 have found that their pantries have been smaller. And, in fact, some have been removed so that they've been putting it into second and third bedrooms. The secondary or passive income streams coming from Airbnb is being sacrificed for the storage of that sort of merchandise.
Sure.
No, unfortunately, where you've got toilet rolls, pasta, baked beans and rice, there are shortages of supply. And at the moment, as Kimber was saying, lettuce is as much as $7, going up from $5. From $5, cabbages to $8, and broccoli up to $12 a kilo. Now, that's a concern for many, many people.
Yeah, no broccoli dinners. Hey, Barry, is it true that in difficult times, and we've never really seen anything, we haven't seen anything like this, but when difficult times and people get a bit desperate, is it true that opportunists come out of the woodwork? Is this fairly regularly happening?
Well, the people who were actually going out there and buying the toilet rolls were the very next day on eBay selling merchandise there at an inflated price. That is always the type of situation. But it goes beyond the sort of rational thought. There is no rational thinking. I think that's the critical issue. Be a sales of actually getting hoarding. I spoke to one guy who had a slab of Corona beer, and I said, you're buying Corona beer. He said, that's not my concern. They're discounting the Corona beer. He said, I'm worried about the ongoing availability and price of lemon wedges. Now, I think that was a funny statement, but it is the kind of considerations that we've got to contemplate.
And so, Barry, is there a way around this? For those of us who aren't being selfish gits and are only taking what we need each time we go to the shops, is there a way, can we vote with our feet, I suppose? Do we, if we don't buy the goods, if we're not paying $12 for a broccoli and we're just going without, over a couple of weeks, will that level out to the point where the demand changes and stores will end up having to charge us normal prices? Or is this going to continue because the fear in people will just make them keep buying?
Kimber, this is about panic, not pandemic. You can't look at rational thinking. I wish I could say we've studied this, analysed it, and this is what consumer behaviour will be. We've got a kind of a situation where you've got mania complying, and to a large extent you're going to have shortages because people are going to keep buying. Look, let's put it into perspective. 96% of toilet rolls and paper tissue in Australia is produced within Australia. One plant by Kimberly Clark in Millicent, South Australia, can satisfy, by and large, all of the demands for paper tissue, so we're not going to be short. Yep. Bottled water. 99.5% of bottled water in Australia, other than one brand, and that's from Nestle, San Pellegrino's. Yep. Every of our bottled water is a local produce. We have not got a shortage of supply. It's demand who are rational. Let's put it into perspective. Supermarkets have what they call stock turns, and they have about 50 stock turns a year. Therefore, what is delivered today will be sold out within a seven-day period. When you've got empty shelves, they're selling out a week's supply within a day, or in short,
yep.
Their volume of business has increased by 700% to 1,000%. No one can forecast that.
Well, and I guess this is what some people would call the free market, is the supply and demand. If you want it, I can charge what I want for it. At what point does a government, for example, come in and start regulating, what you can buy and what the price should be?
Well, governments can't do that type of thing on a micro perspective. They can go out, and look, I would hate to be in public health or parliament, because the interesting situation at the moment, you can come onto the mass media, and there's this truism. Now, no one reads newspapers, watches television, or listens to radio anymore. That's not true, but it's a truism that exists. Where people are getting the information is from the social media. People have said to me, why is it that there's a shortage of rice and pasta? Well, the two most affected countries in the world are one, China up until recently, and two, Italy. It's not that the people who have got English as a second language are taking the mass media and responding to that. They're getting social media communications from China, from Asia, and from Italy, and that type of situation. So it's, to a large extent, out of control with communication. What we need to do is to be reasonable, rational, and unfortunately, one of the people who are bearing the greatest burden are the retailers themselves. Last week, in the Commonwealth Bank actually reported that sales on credit cards had increased 74% on merchandise. Now, that's a problem. Now, the problem is they're enjoying short-term cash flow when you've got empty shelves. The brand damage, therefore the loyalty, repeat and referral businesses from consumers is being lost. They're going to wear that for a long period of time, and alternatives like Aldi and Costco are going to win, because all of a sudden Costco arriving at the perfect time, people are going to start to contemplate, well, $55 a year to buy and have access to bulk purchasing, I think that becomes an attractive proposition.
Yeah, I guess the key points I've taken out of that, Barry, keep calm and maybe avoid broccoli. Thanks, mate, for your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5.
One of the fields, one of the many fields of employment that have been affected has been entertainers, Matt. With the coronavirus, it's very crippling for people's incomes, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. An example that I can bring up later when we talk about my wedding that's supposed to be going ahead is the band that we'd booked in. And of course, that can no longer happen. So there's a gig that they've lost, and I'm sure that's not the first gig they've lost.
Yeah, and we know so many people in the entertainment industry, Kimber, it's very crippling for them.
Absolutely, and I don't know where they're going to turn for now. They lost all that arts funding in the first place, and now they, hopefully through this, people will start to realise just how much the role of the artist and the performer plays in our lives, and they get an opportunity to start again.
One of our Mix 94.5 mates for a long time now is Blake Williams, who's from the radio station, but also his very successful band around playing gigs around Perth, Proof, who've had a lot of things. Well, they're pretty much like a lot of performers, had the rug pulled out from under them lately. Like, you don't want to look at your diary, mate.
It is, it's to the point where I don't want to open my emails, because the first word I see is cancellation, cancellation, cancellation.
Yeah.
It sort of to start to kind of trickle in a few weeks ago, but now at the moment we're looking at about 4 months where every single event has gone. And then we thought, well, at least we've got weddings.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the announcement gone as well. So it's tough, because obviously people are asking for, do we have to pay the amount? And you want to look after people, but you also need to look after musicians. So it's a pretty complicated, not a fun time to be in.
No, and we were saying, through the times of the bushfire crisis, all of the people who came to save the country were artists. Yeah. They were musicians, comedians, everyone going, I'll offer my time and my expertise properties, and people were paying and putting the money towards that. You know, there's a website called I Lost My Gig for Australia, and they're already anticipating that's going to be in the millions of
people.
It's
on my favourites at the moment on Google.
Oh, yeah, because people are putting in how many gigs they've lost.
We're laughing at the moment thinking we'll have to play at our own fundraiser to raise money for ourselves.
That's right, yeah.
And you see it every time we have a, you know, an election, it seems, over the last 20 or 30 years, you know, the governments or the people who want to be in governments will cut arts funding because no one seems to really get fired up about that. But everyone loves it when Kate Blanchett does well or whatever.
That's right.
That took money. She went to drama school. You know, the arts costs, but it delivers a wonderful message and it delivers our community.
Absolutely. It's hard to explain sometimes what life would be like without the arts. You know, you imagine it would be a very, very cold world. But, you know, it's going to be interesting times for the next 4 months or so. So we'll just have to kind of see.
So money-wise, mate, what do you do? What are the options?
Well, last tally, we're about 130 grand down for the next 4 months.
Right.
Which
is, you know, spread out over you know, 6 or 7 different musicians.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
We don't really know what we're going to do at the moment. All we can do is just make sure we're there for each other because it's tough times and people will definitely be going through some tough stuff mentally. You know, it's not easy. And for people who live gig to gig, you know, maybe we need to look at our business model a little bit.
Because that's the thing, you know, you forget artists, just like the rest of you, you spend your life working on your craft. And so it doesn't mean you have backup skills. Doesn't always mean that you know how to take an office job or you can go and, you know, work on the computer or do all this stuff because you've focused on your craft.
It's tell you what, to open up Google Calendar and look at it and there's nothing
empty.
There.
It's distressing.
It's such a strange thing.
And just because you expect it doesn't mean you deserve it.
No, like, that's right.
You know, you 100%. Deserve to be paid for what you do.
Yeah. You're a good person.
The bills diary is not empty, unfortunately.
Sorry, that doesn't stop. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys.
Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5.
There are very few things that aren't shutting down around the world, but Matt, you have mentioned, you'd intimated to us that there was one.
Yes, well, I've told you that I'm missing my soccer terribly, but I noticed that Belarus, their soccer league is still going, and all of a sudden, 11 countries that had no interest in Belarusian soccer have decided to strike up a broadcasting deal with Belarus's league.
How bizarre.
And it's probably because there's the huge derby coming up, the 1-2. It's Energetic BGU versus Minsk, and that's coming up on Easter Sunday. Or so that'll be, you know, a lot of people interested in that result.
Well, there's a lot of energy about Energetic, which is good.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, strange, though, that they're still allowed to play. They'd be like the only sporting league around the world still in operation.
And that's why they're having a boom time, because everyone wants to watch it.
They got the broadcasting rights for $20.
Now, what were the international ratings last night? Oh, 8 billion? Yeah, not bad.
Through the roof.
It's sensational. That is amazing.